thugs, lowlifes, henchmen, and fellow goons, we are gathered here to discuss the major thorn in our side, Plastic Man.
Plastic Man! Plastic Man! Plastic Man!
He's a real good guy in a bright red suit, and he always wears goggles and a belt that's a beaut. He was a crook, but he reformed, and then he reformed and reformed and reformed again.
Plastic Man, Plastic Man, the one, the original Elastic Man. Always in great shape for the shape he's in, the fantastic Plastic Man.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to PlasticCast, a podcast dedicated to the longest arm of the law, Plastic Man, and a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host and best pal, Max Romero. Now, I'm going to confess something to you, and it might be a little, let's say, odd for someone who claims to love superhero comics as much as I do, which I do. I am not a fan of sidekicks. For the most part, there are only two sidekicks that I really like. I don't care about Doibie Dickles. I don't care about the Uncle Marvel and Lieutenant Marvels, even though they're a lot of fun. I care even less about Stripesy, who was the sidekick to the Star-Spangled Kid. Sandy the Golden Boy, even though I like what they've done with him since then with the JSA. Basically, the only two sidekicks that I really like are Robin, of course, from Batman and Robin, because they've really done unique things with Robin, and he's indispensable to Batman now, of course. And equally as indispensable in my mind is Woozy Winks, who is Plastic Man's best friend and partner in not crying. So I really, really like Woozy.
I told you to stay behind.
But we wanted to help.
We?
Hiya.
And I've liked him. I've always liked him. But I sort of really came to appreciate him with the Golden Age stories, and we'll be talking about one of those in about a minute. Part of what I like about Woozy is that he is a friend to Plastic Man. You don't often see characters, superhero characters, who have actual friends. And I guess the closest comparison I can think of right off the top of my head is the Superman family, because Superman, as Clark, does have friends, and more so than he does as Superman. But Plastic Man, you know, Woozy is just this dumpy little ex-criminal, which is something that he has in common with Plastic Man, who has this crazy loyalty and affection for Plastic Man. And that is really kind of cool to see. It helps humanize a superhero character in a way I think that even Robin doesn't do. And it also helped me appreciate how Plastic Man is, and I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, it's probably getting boring, but I like that he really is a contrast to how Plastic Man lives in a crazy world and finds himself in crazy situations, but he is not the crazy one. And in this partnership, Woozy is definitely the Costello to Plastic Man's Abbott. Another thing I like about Woozy is that he has absolutely no powers. As I said, he is sort of a bumbling criminal who latched on to Plastic Man, and we'll get into that with his own origin story. But except for a brief time in the beginning, Woozy has never had any superpowers and doesn't need them. He just kind of runs after Plastic Man, helping out as much as he can, is kind of sneaky, you know, when he needs to be, mostly gets in the way, which is where the comedy comes from. And he's good in a fight. If you go back and look at any Woozy story, for the most part, he's often afraid, but he also just as often is perfectly willing to mix it up. And he's a good street fighter. He's not afraid to throw down. He works as a reminder of what makes Plastic Man special in terms of characterization. Just like Plastic Man, Woozy, again, is a former criminal, not on the level of Eel O'Brien, but he was a criminal, and he also found redemption. And he found redemption through the example of Plastic Man. I think he's a reminder of that to the readers and also to the character of Plastic Man himself. That's pretty good for what I think most people probably consider a throwaway character. And he has been thrown away. In Woozy's history, Woozy was there throughout the entire Golden Age and on into the Silver Age. Around the Bronze Age comics, Woozy started kind of fading into the background or disappearing completely. In the Modern Age, he would come up because mostly at that time, Plastic Man was in one-shot stories or he was guesting, and Woozy would kind of be there in the background. He was there as part of the Adventure Comics run, but it was spotty on whether or not Woozy was ever going to show up. Then when Plastic Man was in the JLA, as far as I know, and people can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, Woozy never made any kind of appearance, which I kind of understand because it wasn't that kind of book. But I do think Plastic Man as a character loses something without his best friend around. Plus, Plastic Man probably wouldn't get into half the shenanigans he does without Woozy.
I got nothing.
So let's talk a little bit about Woozy's actual history. His first appearance was in Police Comics number 13, which had a cover date of November 1942, sale date September 9th, 1942. And he appeared in a story called Presenting the Man Who Can't Be Harmed, with writing and art by Jack Cole, and it was a 9-page story. Now, the reason I mention that is because starting with issue 9, Plastic Man stories were bumped up from 6 pages to 9, which kind of shows how quickly he was able to find an audience and how popular Plastic Man really was. Woozy also started as a criminal. And he was kind of a cold-hearted criminal, actually, and we'll get into that detail later. But he wasn't fooling around, and he was not the smartest criminal by a long shot. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to get on Woozy's bad side. Woozy became a regular character right from that first issue. And he was also a regular character when Plastic Man number 1 launched a little more than a year later on December 29th, 1943. If you go back a couple of issues, you'll see that Woozy wasn't Jack Cole's first attempt at giving Plastic Man a sidekick. In issue number 9, there was a character called Officer Plots, and this was his first and only appearance, which is a good thing. Officer Plots was sort of a uniformed Woozy, but he didn't have nearly as much personality as our pal Woozy would. Just one issue later, in Police Comics number 10, Cole would introduce another character, this one called Omar Magooch, and you can kind of guess where this one is going. Omar was a Western Union delivery guy who, also like Woozy, dreamed of joining the police force. Now, Omar was a typical dumb hayseed type of character, and he was absolutely no help to Plastic Man except by accident. A lot like Officer Plots, he made that one issue appearance and then disappeared forever. So the way it looks to me is Jack Cole took elements of these two characters of Officer Plots and Omar Magooch, went back, kind of tinkered with it a little bit, and 3 issues later, we had Woozy. Woozy was never smart, but in the beginning, he wasn't quite dumb either. He was kind of more venal. He was a sneaky guy, and he was selfish and greedy, what you would consider a typical criminal, I guess. But as it went on, he kind of got dumber, but he also got sweeter. And he is, as I said before, he is extremely loyal to Plastic Man. Plastic Man is his best friend. Sometimes it's said outright, sometimes it's sort of implied, but all that loyalty and all that friendship comes from Plastic Man, from Woozy feeling that Plastic Man, in a sense, saved his life. He completely changed the course of his life the same way the monks changed the course of Plastic Man's life when he decided he was not going to be a criminal anymore and was going to try to be someone who helped people. And again, he doesn't have any powers. He's kind of this short, fat guy who wears a bizarre, you know, not bizarre, but he wears a little straw hat and a green shirt with polka dots on it. And, you know, you could fairly say that he might not contribute that much to Plastic Man's cases, but he's there. And he's helping out as much as he can. And as I said, you know, every now and then, well, pretty often, actually, it comes down to a fight, and especially when there's a lot of people, he's in there, and he's in there fist flying, and he can handle himself. So, sometimes he's clumsy, sometimes he does dumb things, but his heart's in the right place, and more often than not, he helps Plastic Man when the chips are down. For all his attributes, Woozy mostly disappeared in the Silver Age. a lot of this was because they were trying, DC was trying to do something new with Plastic Man, and they were trying to make a hip mod version of Plastic Man who seemed a little bit younger, had a girlfriend, and all these sort of things. And it was a very different kind of Plastic Man. So Plastic Man still had a sidekick, but now it was someone named Gordon K. Trueblood, who was this skinny guy, crew cut, you know, so you could see how square he was, big round glasses, type A personality, fussy, always wanted to try to get Plastic Man a good reputation. Even though apparently, you know, in, if you read those comics, everyone loves Plastic Man, so I don't know what Gordon's problem is, but he kind of wants him to be what he figures is a true hero, a paragon of virtue. You know, so he's kind of a pain in the ass. He's fun in his own way, but not in a way that you would think would make him a lasting kind of character. He is more of a foil for a Plastic Man that was becoming more groovy and more carefree. Gordon was supposed to try and to ground him, I guess, but in a way that Plastic Man didn't need to be grounded. So, yeah, Gordon is fine. He's not one of my favorite characters, and I don't think he really brings much to it, except in that series, just because otherwise you have a bunch of characters running around with, in a sense, no adults in the room. But I don't know if that would have necessarily been a bad thing. Adults are boring. We have to pay our bills, and we have responsibilities, and we have to go grocery shopping. That's what Gordon was always trying to get Plastic Man to do, and who wants to read that? Also, for some reason, Gordon owned a pet shop, and that was supposed to be like the headquarters, and it kind of made an appearance here and there, but it really, I don't know, it was kind of all over the place. Moving into the Bronze Age and the Modern Age, Woozy's appearances started becoming a little more spotty, and this was also an era where Gordon only exists in that Silver Age series. Going into the Bronze and Modern Age, either Plastic Man was partnered with Woozy, or he had no partner at all. He was missing from Plastic Man's Brave and the Bold appearances, which is Plastic Man's heartbroken hobo years. But he would return in Plastic Man's appearances in Adventure Comics. And he was actually an integral part of that, just as he was back in the Golden Age. He's notably missing from the JLA version of Plastic Man. But he was brought back in the Kyle Baker run. Kyle Baker did a really good job of understanding the dynamic between the two. Woozy was back to playing the Costello to Plastic Man's Abbott. Plastic Man was a straight man, and Woozy was instigating a lot of things behind the scenes, or otherwise just kind of getting in the way. As far as single issues are concerned, it was always kind of a gamble. Woozy popped up in single issues of Superman with Plastic Man. He also appeared in The Power of Shazam, Countdown to Mystery, Convergence, Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters, and Injustice. A lot of those are either one-shot stories or stories in which Plastic Man features and Woozy essentially makes a cameo. I think part of the reason Woozy isn't a consistent presence in Plastic Man comics is because of the way some writers characterize Plastic Man. If you have a really wacky, out-of-his-mind Plastic Man, you don't really need Woozy, because then that's too much. And a Woozy who is the more sober-minded character just doesn't work. Personally, I like the dynamic of the two when they're together and when it's working, but I don't know that DC necessarily sees him as an integral part or more as someone that they throw in every now and then for comic relief. As I'm recording this, The Terrifics, a new team book coming out from DC at the end of... Whoa. Okay, so in the time since I recorded this originally, The Terrifics number one has already been released. And it's a great comic. It's a lot of fun. And definitely has that Fantastic Four vibe. And Plastic Man is showcased really well. We'll get into that in a later show so we can go into it in more detail. Back to the show. Now, Gordon Trueblood wasn't the only time that Woozy has been completely replaced. In the Plastic Man comedy adventure show, Woozy was replaced somewhat infamously by a character named Hula Hula, who is supposed to be a Polynesian character who, in a way, has a lot of the characteristics of Woozy. He's very sweet, he's very kind, he's kind of simple-minded, he's fearful. You know, Hula Hula is what he is. But I think there's a reason Hula Hula never made it out of the comedy adventure show.
Cheeseburgers don't attack you, do they? No.
Not to mention how problematic it is to have a Polynesian person referred to as Hula Hula. As a character, he's not terrible, and he could probably be rehabbed in some sort of way, but why? What would the point of that be? I think it's better just to leave him where he is. And someone must have agreed, because later on, Woozy would make appearances in the animated Batman The Brave and the Bold, including two full appearances in episodes called Death Race to Oblivion and Long Arm of the Law, and he also made a cameo in an episode called Mightfall. In those cartoons, he was voiced by Steven Root, and for anyone who's keeping track, Long Arm of the Law also featured Plastic Man's wife Ramona, which is a nice little shout-out to Ramona Fraiden, and the return of the hated Baby Plaz. That, in a nutshell, is the surprisingly long history of Woozy Winx. Now I'm going to play a couple of promos, and on the other side, we will get into the origin of Woozy Winx.
Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Working together, we saved the planet. And I believe that if we stayed together as a team, we would be a force that could truly work for the ideals of peace and justice.
Every episode.
My name is Jean. I'm a Martian.
Every adventure.
Okay, you guys are so slow.
Every hero.
Whatever you think you're doing, if you present a threat to the world, the Justice League will take you down.
Cindy and Chris Franklin bring you
JLU Cast.
Whatever the future holds, we'll make those choices ourselves.
Don't say you don't love me.
I'll never say that.
Covering the complete animated run of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
And the adventure continues.
There's strength in numbers.
What? Like a bunch of super friends?
More like a Justice League.
Space, the final frontier. These are the recordings of the podcast Gimme That Star Trek. Its ongoing mission, to explore all of Star Trek, to seek out new guests and new opinions, to boldly go where many have gone before.
Gimme That Star Trek. A new episode every month, only at fireandwaterpodcast.com and on iTunes.
Welcome back, everybody. So let's get into this. This is Woozy Winx's origin from Police Comics number 13, titled Presenting the Man Who Can't Be Harmed, written and drawn by Jack Cole. Our story begins with Woozy Winx dozing gently in a rowboat, a fishing line patiently waiting for a bite. From nowhere comes a cry, "Help, I'm drowning!" The unflappable Woozy goes ho-hum and pulls someone out of the lake. The person in a full robe with long gray hair says, "You have saved the life of Zombie the Soothsayer. For that I reward you. Yes? No? I hereby bestow upon you the protection of nature. From this day forth, no harm you! Shadro!" And boom! And with that, Zombie the Soothsayer disappears, never to be seen again. Woozy, a naturally suspicious sort, says, he's gone. A crackpot, no doubt. Can't be hurt, eh? We'll see about that. And with that, Woozy embarks on a series of tests to see whether or not he can be hurt, including hitting himself on the head with a hammer, dropping off a cliff, and proves to himself that he can no longer be harmed. He quickly figures out that with this kind of power, he can make a lot of money, either by doing good or by doing evil. He decides to flip a coin and goes, looks directly at the audience and says, "Wouldn't you like to know?" Meanwhile, back at police headquarters, Captain Murphy gets a phone call. "This is Homer Twitchell, the great sculptor." Who calls himself the great sculptor? "The great sculptor, come quickly. My priceless statues have been stolen." And the chief says, "Okay, Homer, don't get so upset about it." In the next panel, we see that Homer Twitchell is actually hanging upside down from his chandelier. And he says, "Don't get upset," he says. Murphy sticks his head out the window to call for Plastic Man, who is also sticking his head out the window, all the way across the street to the roof next door, where he's playing checkers with the building's janitor. Plastic Man is quickly on the case and goes to Twitchell's studio, where he finds the place empty and says, "What is this, some sort of joke?" He soon finds a copy of Hansel and Gretel with the word "help" spelled out in clay on top of it. He thinks to himself, "Why on a book? Why Hansel and Gretel?" And soon enough, he's following small pieces of clay throughout the city, a trail left by Twitchell. As Plastic Man follows the lead of this clay trail, we switch back to Woozy, who has tied up Twitchell, and is busy banging his statues into oblivion with a sledgehammer. Twitchell asks Woozy, "Oh, my life's work ruined. Why did you do it? Why kidnap me?" And Woozy, very industriously banging up a bust, says, "Boss's orders. Now, where did I put that saw?" Twitchell says, "Well, what are you doing to my right arm?" I'll be sure to share this picture on the website. But Woozy puts a saw to Twitchell's arm and is ready to start hacking that thing off. Woozy tells him, "Making sure you'll never do any sculpting again." But suddenly, Plastic Man is on the scene, and he manages to snatch away the saw from Woozy. But at that moment, a bolt of lightning comes cracking out of the sky. Plastic Man is held off by the lightning, while Woozy, completely ignoring everything going around him, says, "Gee, I failed. What'll the boss think? Oh well, we can try again tomorrow." While at the same time, giant hailstones are coming down and squashing Plastic Man flat. Plastic Man manages to grab Twitchell before he's squashed, and together they hide under a bridge. Plastic Man says, "There's something mighty queer about this storm. Did you notice how Fatty walked right through and wasn't hit once?" And Twitchell says, "It's just as though he was, dun-dun-dun, protected by nature." Later, Plastic Man decides to go undercover in what has now become his alter ego of Eel O'Brien. And he says, "Well, Homer's gone into hiding. Now maybe Eel O'Brien can find what Plastic Man couldn't about Fatso. They're sure hard on him. Poor Woozy." Later, at a cafe, Eel finds his quarry. "Pardon, chum. Name's O'Brien. I've heard of you and..." "Sorry, but I've never heard of you." "What? Never heard of Eel O'Brien? Toughest thug in town? Say, you and I could make a mint together." And Woozy says, "Go away, small fry." Eel says, "So you want proof of my ability, huh? Okay, smart stuff. I'll meet you here in 2 weeks. And keep an eye on the papers, because you'll be reading a lot about me." With that, Eel O'Brien goes on a crime spree, robbing fur stores, jewelry stores, whatever he can get his hands on, shooting blanks at the cops to make it look convincing. Eel is so busy that he even tells himself, "The things I have to go through just to get in the good graces of a crook." But it's working. Woozy has been reading the papers, and he says, the lad's really good." Meanwhile, back at police headquarters, Murphy is losing it, and he says, "Fine force you are, letting the Eel make goofs of you." "We know. Don't rub it in, chief." Finally, when the 2 weeks are up, Eel comes back to Woozy, and Woozy says, "After due consideration, friend, I've decided to take you on as my junior partner." And Woozy's already got a plan in mind. He goes, "How are you on swiping marble statuettes?" Eel says, "Just try me, pal." Woozy says, "We're going to steal every one of Homer Twitchell's busts from the city museum." "But why?" "It's a secret, chum. Meet me here at 8. Back in costume as Plastic Man, Plaz lets Murphy know that he's got a line on what Woozy and Eel are going to be up to. And together they come up with a plan of their own. That night, Eel O'Brien and Woozy Winx break into the city museum. And soon they're leaving with armfuls of artwork. The Eel tells Woozy, "I hope you know what you're doing." Suddenly a security guard comes out and says, "All right, you two, the jig is up." But Woozy says, "Just ignore them." And suddenly, a wall of fire bursts up between the criminals and the security guards. As they make their getaway, Eel tells Woozy, "Woozy, you're a wizard. How did you do it?" And Woozy says, "It's a gift. Now drive out to Harry Carey Cliff." Once they get to the cliff, they start dumping the artwork over the side, where it lands with a crack and thud. Eel O'Brien tells Woozy, "Say, I don't get it. Where's the payoff in your screwy game, Winx?" And Woozy says, "What do you care as long as you get $1,000 for the job? I'll pay you as soon as the boss pays me. See you tomorrow." Ready for action, Plastic Man follows Woozy to the Meyer Mansion, where Mr. Meyer himself opens the door to Woozy and says, "Well?" And Woozy says, "Evening, Meyer. Just dropped by to tell you I destroyed 3 more Twitchell busts tonight." And Meyer tells him, "Blundering idiot! I heard all about it over the radio. Those busts were only plaster. The cops hid the real ones. How do you expect me to increase the value of my own Twitchells if the rest aren't destroyed?" And Woozy puts his hand to his forehead and says, "I've been tricked. It must have been Eel O'Brien." And he moves to take a seat in what, by now, is a familiar-looking red and yellow chair. Because suddenly the chair comes to life and he says, "Got you this time!" And he's got Woozy all wrapped up. A now nervous Meyer yells out, "Blackie, come out!" A door opens, and suddenly a huge Black Panther comes out of another room. Thinking fast, Plastic Man molds his face so he looks exactly like Meyer himself. The Panther stops, confused. Plastic Man tells him, "Go back to your hole, Blackie." And Meyer says, "Don't listen to him. Tear the imposter to bits." And poor Blackie is so confused he just spins his head around and finally goes back into his hole. Plastic Man laughs and says, "Attaboy, back to your lair. Ha ha ha." And Meyer tells Plastic Man, "You scoundrel, I'll kill." And Plastic Man, over the shoulder and from behind without even looking at Meyer, says, "No time for you now, Meyer." Biff! Knocks him out. Making a move for Woozy, he says, "Come here, Fatty." Ugh! Because suddenly, a whole tree has sprouted out of the living room. And Woozy just says, "Someone calling me?" Plastic Man tries again, but this time, he's caught in an earthquake. After that, rain, practically a monsoon, indoors. And Plastic Man says, "It's no use. I'll have to try reasoning with him." "Look, Woozy, you're not a bad guy at heart. Why don't you pay your debt to society and start off fresh? Think of your mother. What would she say if she knew about your crime career? And Woozy's face starts to drop. And Plastic Man continues, why? It'd break her heart. Finally, Woozy breaks and says, stop it! Stop it! I can't bear it! Take me away! Soon enough, Plastic Man is bringing Woozy in, along with all the money that Eel O'Brien supposedly stole. Murphy, of course, wants to know what happened to the eel. And Plastic Man says, he got away. Murphy says, look here, Plastic. We've let the eel run loose long enough. I want him captured if it's the last job you ever do for the force. And this is Woozy's chance to say, can I help you nab him? I've got a private score to settle with O'Brien. Plastic Man says, sorry, Woozy, but you've got a sentence to serve. And with that, Woozy just walks out of the police department and says, very well, I quit. Plastic Man says, wait, all right, you can help me, but come back here. And in our second to last panel, Plastic Man thinks to himself, so I've got to capture myself, eh? And with Woozy Winks as a helper, this should be a very interesting experience. And for the next 75 years, it is. With that, Woozy Winks joins Plastic Man for what would become a long and beautiful friendship. The end. Now, there's a lot of things I like about this particular story. As I mentioned before, this is issue number 13, and at this point you can see that Jack Cole is really kind of, not hard, but he's starting to lean into the comedy aspects of this comic, and that's going to become more pronounced now that Woozy's here. The artwork is fantastic. Woozy is fully realized. I mean, Woozy is an iconic character to the point that this is his first appearance, and much like Plastic Man's first appearance, he doesn't change almost at all over the next 75 years. It's still a straw hat, polka dot shirt, short fat guy. There you go. As I mentioned, Cole is starting to lean into the humor a little bit, and you see that in panels where Twitchell is being hung upside down from his chandelier when Chief Murphy tells him, don't get so upset about it, and he says, don't get so upset, you say. There's the image of Plastic Man playing checkers with the guy across the street by just, you know, stretching his head out there, and the guy says, you know, he kind of curses to himself when Plastic Man has to go and says, just when I had you licked. Later on, when Plastic Man is following the trail of clay pieces, he's picking these pieces up off the street. And there's a panel where a couple with a young girl, and the man leans over and goes, Plastic Man gutter sniping. And the little girl says, why, Daddy? And that is just such a fantastic panel. There's some great visuals of Plastic Man using his power, and also how that power kind of protects him from harm himself. Watching Murphy lose it is always a lot of fun. And it's just a great-looking story, and it's so well-realized. And it's so much fun. You can see why Plastic Man appealed to so many readers. And of course, it's wacky without being dumb, if I can say it that way. And that balance, I think, is kind of what really works for Plastic Man. I always love to see Plastic Man pretending to be a chair and someone about to sit on him. That, for some reason, kills me every time. I also like the growing confidence that Plastic Man seems to be having in his powers. When he smacks Meyer, like I said, he does it without even looking. He's hitting Meyer, who's behind him, with just one stretchy fist and knocks him out right away. And all he tells him is, no time for you now, Meyer, because for him, ironically enough, Woozy is the big fish in all of this. And of course, in the end, Plastic Man does defeat Woozy in a sense. He never actually manages to get his hands on Woozy and basically has to use his wits to convince Woozy to give himself up. So if you think about it in this sense, Woozy is actually a pretty formidable opponent, at least as long as he's got his Nature Will Protect You powers. All around, it's a great story and a great introduction to a character that would have some real staying power. And that is the origin of Woozy Winks. Now I'll play one more promo, and after that, we'll get to the news.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
And now for the news. If you've been following DC Comics lately, you know they're in the middle of a big event called Dark Knights Metal. And Plastic Man is a pretty important part of that, even though, as of issue 5 of this 6-issue series, he's still an egg. I know. But in the latest issue, issue 5, Plastic Man sort of gets an update to his origin. He's still a former criminal, though now they call him a petty thief, which is, or whatever. And he still gets doused with a barrel full of chemicals, even though now it's not acid, it's just kind of chemicals. The difference now is that those chemicals are suspected to be an experiment by Star Labs or the Court of Owls to approximate the cosmic metals, which is kind of at the heart of this whole Dark Knight's metal story. According to Mr. Terrific, what that means is that now Plastic Man's molecular structure not only changes with his desires, but his body has become a superconductor for cosmic energies. So basically what that means is that Plastic Man now is attuned to the frequencies of the dark multiverse, which means that all these bad thoughts and nightmares and visions are kind of going through his mind, which is why he put himself into this dormant state, because he was worried about what kind of effect that would have on him and what kind of damage he could do himself. Personally, I love that Plastic Man is such an important part of the story. That's really cool. And it's great to see them introduce him in this way. I just wish that introduction wasn't taking quite so long. I really kind of wish Plastic Man had been an egg for 5 issues. I'm hoping that he'll finally come out of that in the 6th issue. And that sort of gets to another thing that I'm a little bit worried about with these books, is just that in the past, in the most recent past, Plastic Man, he's kind of treated as a nuisance. He's treated as someone who is called upon because his powers are useful or even necessary, but not as someone that people like having around. No one ever seems to trust him because of this wacky persona that he's been given, and I would hate for that to happen again. I've got reason to hope that that maybe won't go that way, just because in Dark Knight's Metal number 5, Green Lantern asks, you know, what's so important about Plastic Man anyway? And Mr. Terrific tells him that Plastic Man is a hero and his friend. So I'm hoping that that is going to channel on into the Terrifics, even though what makes me worried about it again is that in the solicitation text for number 3, there's some wording there that makes it sound like, oh, Mr. Terrific is trying to figure out how to break this mysterious bond that the team members have to each other so they can kind of have some privacy, especially from Plastic Man, which makes me think, okay, they're going again with this kind of wacky nuisance that no one really wants to hang around with. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about Woozy earlier. I would really like it if Plastic Man was a kind of character that other characters could respect, and a character that would actually be friends with these other heroes. It's a little sad to me that Plastic Man essentially only has one friend. And Woozy's been a great friend, but I would kind of like to see other characters see Plastic Man as a hero and as a friend, the way that Mr. Terrific apparently does.
The big Plastic Man news just came out recently when it was announced that Gail Simone, along with artist Adriana Mello, who she worked with before on Birds of Prey, will be launching a 6-issue Plastic Man miniseries starting in June. Simone is a writer that I've dreamed of having write Plastic Man for just about forever. So obviously this is really great news to me. I'm really looking forward to seeing Adriana Mello and her artwork. There have been some preview pages floating around, and those look fantastic with a real 40s noir kind of vibe to it. The covers will be done by a variety of guest artists, so that should provide some interesting visuals. As I said, the miniseries is due to drop in June, and to say I'm looking forward to it would be an understatement. In the statements that have been released, Simone really kind of leans into the humorous aspect of Plastic Man, which worries me just a little bit. But I trust Gail Simone, and she has done a wonderful job mixing humor and gritty kind of action and noir elements again. She has a talent for that, and I trust that she'll bring that to Plastic Man. If you're any kind of fan of Plastic Man like I am, this is a dream come true. I can't wait.
Let's wrap this episode up with your listener feedback in the Plastic Mailbag. Now, on the Fire & Water Podcast Network website, we got a lot of great comments about the last episode, which was The Stairway to Madness. First up, we have Ryan Daly, co-host of the Batman Nightcast, host of the Power of Fishnets podcast, and host of several other podcasts here on the Fire & Water Network. So Ryan Daly says, great sophomore episode, Max. Yow, it may be sacrilegious to say this, but I prefer the anonymous artist on this story to Jack Cole, at least the Cole Plastic Man stories I've read up to this point, which admittedly is only a handful. But I really, really dig the art on this story. Plaz looks a little more like a straight-jawed pulp detective, and the use of heavy shading that you mentioned really plays with the crime noir feel. Love it. Yeah, I agree. I don't agree that this is better than Jack Cole art, but it certainly fits the feel of this story, and it is just so dark and so heavy, it really lends itself to the sense that something dangerous and unexplained is happening. So yeah, I totally agree with that. Next up, we have Rob Kelly, who I think hosts maybe 95% of the shows here on the Fire and Water Podcast Network, but most notably maybe the Superman Movie Minute, Pod Dylan, and MASHcast. Rob says, "Great episode, Max. I had no idea any of these Plaz stories got this intense. This one looks like what I imagine a Plaz comic could be if the character had been bought by EC, not DC. Some of these stories do get intense, and we'll definitely be exploring those in the future." Chris Franklin is another host here with the Fire and Water Podcast Network, hosting such shows as Supermates, Batman Nightcast, the Superman Movie Minute, and the brand new JLU cast. Chris writes, "Man, this sounds like a great story. A downright creepy vignette that would work perfectly fine in a horror anthology film by Amicus or an episode of Tales from the Dark Side or something. Just replace Plaz with your standard cop and voila. Great episode once again, Max." Aw, thanks, Chris. "The Hail Satans at the end reminded me of the end of Rosemary's Baby, when you see no less than Aunt B's friend Clara from the Andy Griffith Show praising the Dark One." Yeah, that's... I'm glad someone noticed that. Those Hail Satans are actually from Tenacious D, who I'm pretty sure are doing a version of that Rosemary's Baby Hail Satans, which is one of the creepiest scenes in any movie ever. Next up is Shag Matthews, the irredeemable Shag Matthews, one of the founders of this very network, and the host of shows including Who's Who, the definitive podcast of the DC Universe, Justice League International Wahaha Podcast, and of course, the Fire and Water Podcast itself. Shag writes, "Another great episode, Max. I often struggle to read Golden Age comics. They are usually very bland. So it's always exciting to hear about adventures like these that remain fresh to this day, like some Golden Age Dr. Fate and Captain Marvel adventures. It sounds like I've earned a rep as a Plastic Man hater. This is not true. It's simply a case that I prefer Elongated Man in the JLA. Like many others, my intro to Plastic Man was the 70s TV show. I thought he was a silly yet fun character like Blue Falcon and Dynamite." Oh man, that's not right. "It wasn't until All-Star Squadron that I discovered he actually appeared in comics. By then, I was already a fan of the Justice League Detroit and Satellite eras. Ralph for the win. When Grant Morrison introduced Plaz to the JLA, I was less than thrilled. However, the quieter character issues about Plaz really sold me. Additionally, Plaz's animated appearances on Brave and the Bold and Justice League Action have further won me over. So while I haven't read any Plaz solo comics, I consider myself a fan of the character. I look forward to hearing about more of Plaz's exciting solo outings. P.S. Baby Plaz and Bad Luck Hula Rock." See, Shag, now you're just trolling me. P.P.S. Don't get me wrong. If it comes down to Ralph versus Eel, I'll stretch a little further to save Ralph. So I think what we can take from that is Shag just really hates Plastic Man. Ange, who writes the Supergirl Comic Box Commentary website, also wrote in to say, "Great episode. Very disturbing story. And Plaz is a cool foil for this. But that image of the devil stabbing Bullethead is creepy." It is. It's great. "For me, I think the Plaz show was my first meeting. But I also read Brave and the Bold issues as well as the Adventure Run, so I would need there to be a timeline to see. Put me in the anti-baby Plaz camp as well. Anyway, thanks for this show." Well, thank you, Ange. Brian Linton left a note saying, "A great Plastic Man story for the Halloween season. I love the way the supernatural intrudes into what otherwise would be a fairly standard crime story. In regards to Plastic Man's resurgence in the DC Universe, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the Plastic Man that was recently introduced on the Flash TV show. He seems to be a strange amalgamation of Plastic Man and Elongated Man. I'm not sure why they didn't just choose one or the other character to run with. As we all know by now, the character who's featured on the Flash is not Plastic Man, even though he does get name-dropped at some point as just like a throwaway name that they consider. But that is actually Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man, as Shag will no doubt go on and on about. And what I tell Brian is the roots in horror and crime comics that so many of the Golden Age writers and artists had, including Jack Cole, tend to come out in these stories. And Jack Cole, as I've mentioned before, worked in a lot of different genres. And I think Cole was so creative and so imaginative that he brought those genres into Plastic Man. So yeah, so there are some horror stories, there are science fiction stories, there are crime stories, all sorts of things going on in Plastic Man. And that's going to be fun to explore those in the future. As far as Ralph Dibny goes, I dig it. I like it. I'm glad to see Elongated Man in there. With the exception of the disgraced ex-cop angle, it seems to be in line with Elongated Man's Silver Age characterization. I'll be curious to see if Sue shows up at some point. And I'm impressed with how well they pull off the stretching effect, especially for a TV show. Especially for a TV show that's not on a major network. It really does give me hope that we'll see a credible live-action Plastic Man someday. I will say, as far as the characterization goes, I don't remember Elongated Man, and people, I'm sure, will chime in to correct me. I don't remember Elongated Man being this funny, or at least this Devil May Care. Well, he is very Devil May Care, but in a kind of a narcissistic way. In a way, I hear echoes of Plastic Man in this Elongated Man. But that could just be me and my wish fulfillment. And finally, Tim Price writes in to say, I'm enjoying this addition to the network very much. Great work, Max. I look forward to hearing more of Plaz's early non-goofy adventures. And yes, bring on Woozy. Tim, your wish is my command. Over on iTunes, PlasticCast got a 5-star review, yay! From Darren and Ruth Sutherland, who are the hearts and souls behind the Rad Podcast Network. So when you're not busy listening to the Fire and Water Podcast Network, make sure to go check them out. Darren and Ruth say, "This podcast is tons of good-natured fun as host Max Romero, that's me, shares his love of the Plastic Man character and comics. The joy he finds in these stories is infectious as he reviews and summaries the adventures of the stretchy hero. Max also weaves the history of the comics into each episode, giving listeners some great background about the character as well. It's a joy to listen to and is definitely recommended." Aw, well, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it. And I would also appreciate it if anyone else feels like going over to iTunes and leaving PlasticCast a review. It's how these shows help build an audience, and it would mean a lot to me personally. And of course, you can leave your comments and questions and anything else over on the Fire and Water Podcast Network site, and that is fireandwaterpodcast.com. And there you can find all of our shows, as well as PlasticCast. We all love hearing from you, so be sure to leave a comment. Speaking of where to find me, you can also find this show on Facebook, on its Facebook page, it's Plastic Man. And you can also find it on Twitter under the handle, it's Plastic Man. PlasticCast gets a lot of shares and likes and retweets, both on Facebook and Twitter, and that is very much appreciated as well. That'll do it for this episode of PlasticCast. I hope you had a good time. I know I did. I hope I'll see you next time, but for now, I gotta bounce.
I'm feeling woozy air!